Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to
you. Amen! Hallelujah! How many of you are enjoying the service? It's time for testimonies. Amen! How many of you here want to be wise? Daddy said in the Give Thyself Holy Conference that one way to become wise is through the testimonies. Amen. And I believe this morning we have powerful testimonies. Please help me welcome Clary Agri to give us her testimony. Put your hands together as we welcome Clara Agri.
Hallelujah. My name is Clara Agri from the church in India. My testimony is about how Daddy's prophecy concerning tithing was fulfilled in my life that very day, even before I got home. We were about giving tithe, and Daddy said that the tithe we were given will be multiplied by 10, by 100, by 1,000. I was sitting at the back with my baby, so I jumped and I said amen. And I turned to the person by me and I told her that I have taken this testimony personal. Before I got home, a friend approached me and he blessed me with money. And when I took out the tithe, it was a multiple of 100 of the tithe I had given just in church that very day. My other testimony is about how God miraculously granted my baby a visa through Daddy's message, not by might nor by power, and also by the presence of the Lord. We applied for a visa for our baby so we could go back with her to India. So when I went to the consulate told me that he would not grant my baby a visa because I'm on student visa. I was so sad because she's just a year and 3 months and I didn't want to leave her. Then the next day, my husband visited these Ghanaian couples in Ghana who were not allowed to take their baby with them. So we were even more discouraged. But my husband called me and said that no, Daddy said it was not by might nor by power, but it was by the Spirit of God. And he had preached again about the presence of God. So he believed that the presence of God would be with us. So we went, we applied for the visa, then we went. When we got to the consulate, he sat us down and he told us that he had never granted this visa before. Actually, he does not give out this visa, but he's finding it difficult to say no to my baby and I. So we sat down for some time. The consular was just in his seat, and he kept saying that, I don't know why I can't say no to you. It's my job to refuse a visa, but I'm finding it difficult to do so. So he said he was going to look for a reason to give us the visa. Then he stretched out for the constitution. He flipped through, then he said he has a reason to give us a visa. Then he granted us a visa. Then he went along to play with my baby. He was encouraging me to stay in India. And he was telling me that it's important that the family stays together. And I was amazed because he was the one who didn't want to. And he has never done that before. And I believe that it was because the presence of the Lord was with us. It's truly not by might, nor by power. And I want to encourage, I want to say thank you so much, Daddy. We believed in those words. We believed in that message. And as we were going that day, my husband will send me a message. It's not by might, it's not by power. And I'll respond, the presence of the Lord is with us. Thank you so much. I want to encourage all of us that the words our fathers say, they are real and they are alive to those who believe them. Thank you.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise for a powerful testimony. We have another testimony. Please help me welcome Emmanuel Adbenro to give us his testimony. Please encourage him as he comes on stage.
My name is Emmanuel Ofori Adbenro, First Love, KNUST, and I'm in the Film Stars. My testimony is about how God held me through that message to move from a second class lower to a second class upper. I remember during the wisdom impartation service, Wisdom 30, that he said that God is going to give us a boost in our life. So I believe it. And the booster, he said we should give a booster. And I remember Daddy said that the boosters are called diamonds. So I mean, when I was in third year, second semester, I dropped in my average. Final year, first semester, I dropped again and I was sad. So from January till the time I finished school, I've been believing God for a boost to just move to second class upper and finish school. So I remember when I got home, through the message, I was believing God. I gave the booster that day. And I was believing God and believing God. When even the results came, I was afraid to even check. But I mastered courage and I checked it. And when I checked it, I had gotten a second class upper. I want to say that. I want to say, Daddy, thank you for the prayers through WhatsApp. Thank you for the grace that is in this house. I want to encourage everyone to believe in the prophecies, because a boost happened in my life. Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout. I have another testimony. Help me welcome Loretto to give us her testimony. Please encourage her as she comes on stage.
My name is Lerato Manamela. I'm 23 years old. I'm a student of ABMTC Mampong, and I'm from South Africa. My testimony is about how Daddy's preaching on the presence of God delivered me from... It helped me to get over a boy that I was hung up on for a long time. I met the boy in 2012. When we met, I wasn't saved. And we were just young and having fun. You know, like how LP Ida sings about High James? It was exactly that kind of relationship. So we dated for a while, and in May of 2014, I got saved and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and became a born-again Christian. But we were still dating. So I was there in the church, and I kept the relationship a secret from my reverend, because I believed that I can just get him to come to church and then he'll be saved and we'll get married and live happily ever after. But as I stayed in church and I grew as a Christian, I realized that the relationship wasn't helping my faith. So in February of 2015, I broke off the relationship. And I was still very much attached to him. So even though we separated physically, I was still hung up on him. In October of 2015, I came to Bible school. So we stayed out of touch for a while. Now, last week, Sunday, at about 12 in the morning, I was going through Facebook and I saw a post by this brother. And some feelings started coming back. And I was feeling sad and I started to cry and I was just a bucket case. And then that afternoon as we came to church, Daddy was preaching about the presence of God and how the presence of God is the only thing that can give you rest. And I remember specifically him telling us that some of you girls, you think that if only I can get brother so-and-so back in my life, I'll have rest. And he said that rest doesn't come from having John in your life. Rest doesn't come from having Kofi in your life. But it only comes from the presence of God. And I was so shocked. I actually felt like Daddy was speaking directly to me, as if somebody had told him what I was going through just a few hours earlier that morning. So I was receiving the message. And then the best part is that when we were taking communion, as Daddy prayed over us, I actually felt a knot untie in my heart. And I knew from that point that I had gained the strength to get over this guy and I was free. And I know now that the Lord will send somebody, the right person at the right time, you know. So I'd like to thank Daddy for his teachings and for always admonishing us to believe in the word of God that he preaches to us. And I want to encourage every one of us sitting here today to keep coming to church and keep listening to the messages on podcasts and believe especially the prophecies, because the week before I was standing up and receiving a beloved and I was saying amen. So I want to thank you very much, Bishop, for your teachings.
Thank you. Amen. Give the Lord a shout for a powerful testimony. Bye bye to James. We have another testimony. Help me welcome Telly Nam to give us her testimony.
My name is Telly Nam Eli. I'm in the choir instrumentalist and I'm a church planter at the Grace of God. And my testimony is about how my relationship with my father improved. My relationship with him used to be just about school fees and financial needs. But then right now, my relationship with him is so good that I remember one time I even spoke to him on the phone for more than an hour. And when I think about it, I don't know what I would have been talking about. And it was really nice talking to my father for that long time and having a meaningful conversation with him. And he advised me a lot. And it happened through the messages of Bishop. I remember he was preaching a lot of times about we having a better relationship with our fathers. And I took that message seriously. And I decided to improve the relationship with my father. And I know my father is a very frugal person. But then I had phone problems, and then I asked him for a phone, and without hesitation, he got me a phone and even got me an external. And I praise God because it's only because of the relationship I had with him. So I want to encourage all of us to take the messages seriously and take the advice practically and do it, and our lives to be better. Thank you very much, Bishop, for teaching us about fathers.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout. How many of you are becoming wiser through the testimonies? We have our final testimony. Help me welcome Ellie Chega to give us his testimony.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ellie Chega, and I'm a student at the Bible School, Mampong Campus, and a worship star and a church planter by the grace of God. My testimony is about how God delivered me from working for Pharaoh for the rest of my life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, growing up, I always wanted to live a very comfortable life, and the work of God was the farthest thing from my mind. So the most I felt I would do was to work hard, become rich, and support the gospel financially. And so that was the mind that I had. So along these lines, I finished school in 2012, and within a week of finishing school, I got a job. And I wasn't employed for my national service. I was employed as a full-time worker. And it felt very good. And also, within the first 3 months of my working in that company, I received a car to use. So I felt very, I was like, oh, this is what my God has for me. You know? What else is there? So I felt that my life was on track and heading where I wanted it to go. And I remember that it became very stressful. So I worked there for a number of years, and in the second year of my being there, I began to feel like I was in the wrong place. Not in the wrong job, but I enjoyed the job. But I felt that there was something else that God wanted me to do. And I joined First Love Church after school. So I kept listening to the messages. And one day, Daddy was preaching about what it means to not serve God. And in other words, what it means to work for Pharaoh. And I was sitting there, and he was talking about how Pharaoh was a very hard taskmaster. And the message resonated so much within me. And I don't know how, but Daddy saw me sitting in the corner at CC, and he called me to the front and asked me whether what he said was true or not true. And I said it was absolutely true. And I remember these words. He said, such a young man, why would you say that it's absolutely true? And I began talking about how the work was very demanding, and that it's not enough to work for 8 hours to be successful. Nights, weekends, and even Sundays are not yours. And he asked me what job I did, and I said that I worked in an advertising agency. And he said, oh, I see. So what are some of the things that you advertise? Do you advertise beer, alcohol? And I hesitated for a few seconds, and I said, yes, that's also part. And then he said, okay, so that brings me to my next point. Then he went back to his notes and said that to work for Pharaoh means to build up the things of this world. and on and on. So after the message, I couldn't shake. I felt that God was the one standing there talking to me directly, and I couldn't shake the feeling of being in the wrong place and using the most productive years of my life to build up a castle in the sky. So, but eventually, through his messages, that conviction became stronger. It took me almost another year to finally become fully convicted and decide to work for God full time. And I just want to thank God that he gave me wisdom to choose the best career that there is. Thank you very much.
Wow, give the Lord a shout for a powerful testimony. I told you that testimonies make us wiser. And I believe that all of us have received wisdom as the testimonies have come to us. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Ida!
Hi, James. So glad you could make it here tonight for this meeting. But can you excuse for 1 second? 'Cause I just need to do something before I talk to you. I know it sounds kind of funny because of the way we've been, but I want to pray first. Let us pray. Or, you know what? Let me pray. Oh God, help me, please help me. I want to serve you, I really do. I want to follow you. Please help me. Please give me the Holy Spirit. I know that only you can make me strong. Today I have to do what is right, because I don't want to fall into this mess again. The hour has come and the seed must fall into the ground and die. I know you have made me strong enough to do this. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I had to meet you here today. There's just so many things to say. I really need to set things right. I'm here to speak the word of God. We've been living in sin so long. We both know it's not right. This fornication can't go on. Let's just quit and say goodbye. I'm glad we're meeting here today. This relationship is wrong. I've been pregnant 3-4 times. Aborting baby is just too bad. Oh, oh. I feel sick because I have sinned. My hands are covered in so much blood. Say goodbye. for so long we've been together. Oh, yes. But I won't be seeing you anymore. Oh, no. I can't help crying as I speak. Been crying all week long. It's time for me to take my cross and follow Jesus every day. Yes. 'Cause I have found a greater love. Oh, James, the love of Jesus is so real. Yes, it is. Woo! I can't deny that I loved you. Oh, James, I can't deny you made me happy. Yes, you did. See, you made me laugh. You made me cry. Just loved it being with you. And though I feel drawn to you, I want to serve the Lord from now. It breaks my heart to say goodbye, my change. Just quit and say goodbye.
Gentlemen, rise up as we welcome Bishop Dagoe Odumegwu.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thanks a million for the opportunity that we have today. Please guide us by your mighty Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name for speaking to us today. We love you, Lord. We are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift your hands with me as we gather. May your Spirit be with us.
As we gather, may your Spirit dwell within us. As we gather, may your glorify your name. Knowing well that our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed.
Can you sing it with me? As we gather, may your Spirit.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us.
As we gather.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us.
Knowing well
that as our hearts begin to worship,
we'll be blessed because we came.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because
the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. As we gather, we are glad we are here in your presence. Let your presence affect our lives. Thank you, Jesus. What assurance, what blessing, what peace, and what rest you give to us.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us.
As we gather, may we glorify your name.
Knowing very well,
knowing well that our hearts begin to worship.
We are going to be blessed today.
We'll be blessed because we came.
Welcome your wonderful presence, Jesus. Lead us, we pray. We thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful presence. All we need is your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tell somebody you are going to be blessed today. Tell somebody you are definitely going to be blessed today. Wow. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And this is part 3. And the last but one part of the series on the presence of God. Next week, I believe, is the last one on that. But the presence of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 19. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said, "Fear not, thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. Obviously, she was very weak from the labor. They didn't have cesarean section in those days. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God is taken." All right? Now, the glory of God is the presence of God. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Can you hear me clearly? Please forgive us all the things we don't have. They are all improving gradually. Better sound is coming. Amen. Now, it says, Moses prayed, amen, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 or verse 13. He said, "Lord, show me your way." Verse 13, "Show me thy way." Then verse 14, he said, "My presence shall go with you." So when you are close to somebody or the person is present, you know the person's ways. And he says, "And I will give you rest." That is what the sister was talking about in her testimony. Rest does not come from Brother John or James, but rest comes from Jesus. No man can make you restful or happy, including a Christian man. Some of the most restless wives are wives of Christians. Yes. Why are you laughing? You know, you must know that we are born again, but our flesh is the same. The flesh is the same. That is why Christians make mistakes and Christians commit sins, because the flesh is not changed, and the mind is also not changed. It changes as time goes by. As you hear the word, your mind changes. That's why the Bible says, "Renew your mind," or "Restore your soul." Your soul is your mind. And then your flesh, which is your body, you gain control over it gradually. It's like a baby. You gain control over wee-wee and poo-pooing gradually. It doesn't happen on your birthday. Like, "I'm 2 years old, so I'm in control." No, gradually. And some children mess up more and longer. It depends. That's the same thing with Christians. Our flesh is the same. So the mistakes are made. And the flesh, especially when you are young, the Bible says, "Flee youthful lusts." There are some desires that are more in young people and less when you are older. So pray to be old, so that you have less of certain desires. And you must also marry when you are young, when your desires are very strong. Because God has given you some organs that are used for these desires. So you don't have to wait till you are old before you decide, I'm going to marry. No. From a certain point, you should be, especially brothers, you are the ones deciding. You are the ones choosing. So you don't have to say, I'll marry when I'm 42. You know? Brothers of a certain caliber, they usually marry young. Yes. Because you know that the way your flesh is, you have to marry. Yes. You need a wife. Not that they say, but you know that you need it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Now, I'm talking about the presence of God. I don't know what has happened to all this. I don't even know how I got into that, but maybe when I start again. So it says, my presence shall go with thee. If your presence does not go with us, don't send us from here. Then in verse 18, he said, show me your glory. So there are some words which are almost the same thing. The glory of God, the beauty of God, the presence of God, his ways, his goodness. But the next verse is that, and the Lord, he said, I will show you my goodness. I'll show you my goodness. So when God wants to show you good things, the goodness of God, he shows you his presence. The anointing, what we usually call the anointing, is actually the power to work for God and to do things, which is different from the presence. So, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the scripture we just read, there was a problem in town, and that was that Samuel had two sons, and the sons were involved in so many problems. The main two problems that they were involved in was that they were sleeping with all the women in the church. And the second was that they were misusing the offerings. All right? And because of this, but actually not really because of that, but because Eli, their father, the Bible says he did not restrain. You can see how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle. All right? So they were sleeping with the women, and then they were also misusing the offerings that were coming. This was the two problems. So when you are a pastor, you can't sleep with the girls in the church. Are you with me? So if you want to sleep with the girls, you can't be a pastor. Amen. No, I'm just showing you what's in the Bible. And so, but the problem was that Eli, who was the senior priest, the Bible says he did not restrain them. He advised them, advising. But a time comes where you don't advise, but you also have to restrain the person. All right? So he did not restrain them. And because of that, God promised that he was going to really punish them. And the big punishment was that they would all die. He said the two sons would die on the same day, which is unusual. You see, it's unusual. Two children in one day. He said, when you hear about it, your ears will tingle. You know, whenever we hear unusual things, it's supposed to make you notice. All right? So, he says, two of your sons will die. You also die. And then the glory is going to go away. So, that's what exactly happened. The glory of God left. So, the lady, one of the women was giving birth, and she gave birth to a child and called the child Ichabod, which means that the glory has gone. Or the presence is no more there. Okay? Now, this ark is something that is worth looking at. What is the ark? But not today. But the ark symbolized where God was. So, all through the things that happened after the ark was taken away, are you there? Are very interesting because it shows you a lot about the presence of God. So we see in 1 Samuel, I want us to see about, I don't know how many things we can look at, but about maybe four or five things. What happened with when the presence of God started to move around, because the presence of God was the ark of God. So in 1 Samuel chapter 5, we see now the ark has now moved to somewhere. Let us see what's going to happen when the presence of God moves to somebody's area. 1 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. And the Philistines captured the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. That's their town. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. That's not my name, but it's a bad name. And when they of Ashdod rose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Hey. So you see that the big idol was there and it fell down. All right. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. When they arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face before the ark of the Lord. And then the head of Dagon, both and the palms of his hands were cut off. And only the stump was left to him. So the idol had fallen down, all right, and it was only left with the stump. Therefore, verse 5, neither the priest of Dagon tread on the threshold of Dagon unto this day. Verse 6, now the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emeralds, even Ashdod and the coasts thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God and of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is heavy sore upon us. Amen. So in 1 Samuel chapter 5, you see that when the presence of God moved into a temple where they were worshiping an idol, you see a reaction. Hallelujah. You see a reaction. Amen. And emeralds are a type of boils, you know, that they were experiencing. So may you not experience emeralds in your life. Amen. Because God doesn't like people who worship other gods. Amen. It means boils or tumors, which is cancer. tumors and hemorrhoids, piles. So, bleeding from your bottom, hemorrhoids, and hemorrhoid is like a swelling of your anus that can come out. Do you understand? That's piles. These are the result of joking with the presence of God. Tumors, cancers. Even up to today, cancer is something that is like when you hear that word, you don't feel happy anymore. No matter what medicine they are doing today, when you hear that word, you have not heard a good word. You will never hear that word in your life. Can you hear me over there? Over there, can you hear me on this side? Those people cannot hear. They can't hear this. If they cannot hear, can they move? Maybe and come under the balcony here. Can you hear? No. All of you, take your chairs and come to the back here. Move. Why should you come to church? You can't hear. They can't hear all that side. You can arrange them at the back under the balcony here. I think until we have a better sound system, we have to arrange ourselves in a way. It's also a good problem to have. Amen. So, tumors. Can you hear on this side? May you never get cancer. And cancer was brought about by the presence of God meeting with... No, the middle. They can all sit in the middle, please. Up to the back. Come on. And very fast. Very fast, please. Please, if you can't hear, kindly move all the way to the back wall. Nobody is going out through. Can you hear now? Can you hear better? Very good. Our church will be full. Speak to the empty space over there. Say, be filled. Be filled. On this side, say, be filled. Speak to the stage. Say, be filled. In Jesus' name. More souls are coming. So, get your seat early. So that you'll be established in the church. Hallelujah. You'll get married here. You'll find a husband here. Some people say that when you come to Lighthouse, they will be looking for husband and wife. Here, there, we like marriage. So when you come, God will bless you with marriage. In Jesus' name. All right. So, what is giving rise to hemorrhoids, tumors, and what do you call it? Boils, emeralds. The presence of God interacting with your idol. So anybody who has an idol, you must be careful. God is a very jealous God. You know, all through the Bible, even You know, so many things he doesn't comment about. Oh. David marrying so many women. Solomon marrying so many women. It's like, it's almost like he's silent. But when it came to other gods, that is where you see God's reaction. Even in the case of Solomon, he married 1,000 ladies. I mean, his wife were a church. A mega church. Like everybody in the church was his wife. And God didn't say anything. Until some of the women made him go and serve idols. That is what God reacted to. So you must be afraid of having another God. Yes. And something else that is too precious to you. So you mustn't like anything too much. That's what I've learned. Don't like anything too much. And some of the things that God has scrambled in your life that are not too excellent, they are all God's assistance to you not to like it too much. Do you understand? Yes. Yeah. As one boy breaks your heart, another breaks your heart, another breaks your heart. When you even see a boy, you say, you. I know your type. You are coming to break. You are coming to break my heart. You are a breaker. God doesn't want anybody or anything that is very great, so great that it challenges him in any way. This is what I mean, even from being a Christian, not even from the Bible, but in the Bible you see, look, when he gave Abraham the child, Isaac, it was like Isaac was really so special, you know, to Abraham. So a time came, God said, you know, remember how I spoke to you the other day that you should leave your father's house and come and serve me? I have another mission for you. What is that? I need you to sacrifice Isaac, your special thing. Yes. So that I will be the only one left. Because I can see that since you've given birth to Isaac, like everything is about Isaac. One day a certain brother came to see me and he said, I am now the fourth most important person in the house. He said, I used to be number one when he married. I'm the fourth most important. I said, I don't understand what you are saying. He said, we are four in the house. When we married, I was number one. Two children have come, and I'm now the fourth most important person in the house. Brothers who are planning so hard to marry, I want you to know that you may not know that you are being used to produce a child and to produce the one who is coming to displace you from your position. And then you will see that everything is about that child who has come. And it's no more about you. Then you will realize, wow, I've been sacrificed. May you never be sacrificed. In Jesus' name. Yes. You know, 2 years ago, I was in Korea, and I saw some Christians. I don't know what occurred to me. I called them. They were all married people. All of them had children. I don't know what came over me. I just said, supposing one person in your family has to be chosen to die. I called the wives. Supposing one person has to be chosen to die. You have 2 children, 3 children, your husband. Who would you nominate that you die? And they were nominating their husbands. All of them were nominating their husbands. I nominate my husband to die. Wow. Hey, Moko, wow. You may never know limited. So I asked them, why do you nominate him? They said, oh, because he has lived already. He has already lived. He has experienced whatever. These ones are now coming. So to give them an opportunity. So I nominate him. Brothers, are you surprised? Very, very, very surprised. You don't know your position. That is why God told Abraham that since you gave birth to Isaac, Isaac is everything. Isaac is everything to you. Every day, Isaac, every day, Isaac, every day. Since the outdooring of this child, everything is Isaac. And I don't like it. I don't like it. At first, it was me. At first, everything was God, God, God. Now it's Isaac, 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 Isaac. So God is a very stranger, like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, you know, with everybody you work with or work for, you have to know what is important to the person. You know, because everybody is different. And you would have thought that God would be very wild about so many things. But it's like it's virtually silent. You know, one day I went to a country and there was a man who he had 8 wives. And he said he was a Christian. So I said, oh, how do you say you are a Christian? And you have 8 wives. He said, oh, from the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. Everybody has a lot of wives. I'm following the Bible way. It's like God didn't even comment on it. But for idols, it's very well. So those of us who love money and who have something very precious to us, I tell you, you should be careful of that thing. It can easily be taken away from you. Or it can easily scramble and become a nasty thing to you. Yes. So, just have God. And let God, you see, that's why when you are going to the presence of God, in the tabernacle, the first thing you meet is a sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice. Like, you must sacrifice things before you see the presence of God. It's always the first. So to see the presence of God, you know, nothing must be important. But you don't know, when you are a young person, you'll be singing things. I mean, you are my all in all. I there's none like you. I'll never this. I mean, I love you with all my everything. You are my. Hey, and there are many songs for these type of things. A lot of songs. Such as what? Huh? My African Queen. And then what again? All of me wants all of you. Hey. I cannot say yours. So, from today, make sure there is no other God. And those of you who have actual idols, maybe when you were coming to school, your father gave you an idol to bring, or your mother or your auntie gave you a charm or an amulet or a chain, do you see, or some kind of a charm or a little god. Look, it is in conflict with the presence of God, and it will not go well with you. Today marks the end of all idols in your life in Jesus' name. So the presence of God is directly in conflict with idol worshiping and having of anything that is an idol. And I believe that all idols in your life are deciding they cannot stay there any longer. Amen. Then, in 1 Samuel chapter 6, the second event that happened with the presence of God. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 6, from verse 1. You see that the Bible says the ark, that is the presence of God, was in the Philistines' country for 7 months. So they called for the priest and they said, what should we do? They said, send it away. Okay? And then verse 5, make images of your emeralds or your tumors and images of your mice that mar the land and give glory to God. Alright? So they made a new cart with 2 milk cows. These are very big cows. And then they sent it. And they took the ark of the Lord and laid it on the cart. Alright? And then let's see where it goes. Verse 9. And see if it goeth by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh. Alright, verse 10. And the men did so. Verse 11. They laid the ark of the Lord on a cart with the images of their tumors, hemorrhoids, and boils. Alright. And the cows or the kine took the straight way to Beth Shemesh. Like you say, Bethlehem, this is Beth Shemesh. And went along the highway. Lowing, they turned not to the left or to the right, all right, and they went all the way, all right. Now, verse 13, they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley and lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and he stood there where there was a great stone, and they offered the kine and a burnt offering. Are you there? Verse 15. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put on them the great stone, and they offered offerings and sacrifices. Verse 19, but something bad happened. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh. All right? In verse 19, he smote the men of Beth Shemesh. God struck them. All right? Why? 50,000 and 70. What is that? 70 is 70, 60 and 10, yeah, 70, 3,070. Because they said, who is able to stand before the Lord? All right. And then they called for the inhabitants of whatever to come and look into it. All right. Look at verse 19. He smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. So now, these people had cancer because they had idols, and then these people had how many died? 50,000. That's a lot of people, eh? Because they looked into the ark. You see, the ark symbolized the presence, and the ark had a lid, and there were things in it. So it's like people came saying, let's have a look to see. And you see, there are some things you shouldn't see. It doesn't concern you. And there are things that God himself, it concerns God. It concerns his presence. And when you trifle with God's presence, you can easily die. Yes. So whenever the presence of God is on somebody or with somebody, you see, and then you want to be familiar with it and go close and look in a natural way at the natural, because it was just a box. In a natural way at the natural content of the box. Do you see? You can easily die. Now, how does it apply to us today? God's presence is here, and God's presence is in his church. Anybody who trifles with the presence of God trifles with his own life. I can tell you three people: a nation, a church, a pastor. Be careful. Because although it looks nice, because it was just a box, the description of the box is in Exodus 25. How to make the box and all the things. Just a box. You are going to look at whatever. So you need to be dangerous. You need to be careful. Now, when these people trifled and played with the presence of God, they had a big problem. Let's take Israel. Israel is chosen by God. Nobody can change it. God didn't choose Ghana. He didn't choose Ghana. It would have been nice if he had chosen us. He didn't choose Nigeria. He didn't choose Togo. He didn't choose any of us. He didn't choose America. He didn't choose England. He didn't choose China, which has more people. He chose Israel. And they are his special people. Anybody, and his presence is with them. Anybody who jokes with Israel, jokes with it to your own demise. You have to be careful. So, do you know that Britain, right, they used to occupy Israel. They were the last military force that occupied Israel. All right? They are the last military force that occupied Israel. And there was a British Empire. All of us were part of the British Empire. But after 1945, after the Second World War, they decided to turn against Israel because they said, we need the oil of the Arabs to fight the wars and all the things. So let's turn again. And they turned against Israel. It's a major event in history that the British turned against Israel. And then the Israeli militants on the ground decided to fight Britain in the promised land, and Britain ran away. Now, from then, 1945, the British Empire, you see, today we all know America because of your age. America is a powerful nation, but it was not, America was not a great nation then. It was England. That was the British Empire. From South Africa to India to Burma to Kenya to Ghana, Nigeria, Singapore, Malaysia, everywhere was the British Empire. So when you fight with Britain, you are fighting the empire. And we used to celebrate in Ghana Empire Day. Every part of the empire celebrates Empire Day. Yes. All over. India, the huge countries. So when you fight with Britain, you are fighting an empire. And the king of England was not a king, he was the emperor. Yeah. So, from the time they turned against them, 1947, they said, we are not against you. Immediately, 1947 or 49, India came out. They said, no, India and Pakistan. They were forced to run away. And then, so the British governor said, okay, announcement. From here to here is Pakistan. They were dividing India into Pakistan and Hindustan. The north are Muslim and the south are Hindus. And they just declared it and took a ship and ran away. And then they started fighting between Pakistan and India. That was the first one. Then Kenya. And then Malaysia went. Singapore went. Then Kenya, Mau Mau tribe, they came up and started fighting in 1954. Fighting. They started shooting, killing the white people in Kenya. And they, at a point, they arrested thousands of Kenyans, including Jomo Kenyatta. Now, I'm talking about turning, watching the presence of God and not. Is it like you think Israel is not just any country? No. The most famous Jew of all is Jesus Christ. Yes. The most famous Jew ever is Jesus. So, 1954, then Ghana, 1957. We can manage, we have a right to manage or mismanage our own affairs. And we started. 1957, we're given. 1960, by 1960, 1962, everybody, they lost the whole England, was no more an empire. It became an island, a small island. Yeah, it just shrunk. Yes. All the Caribbean, the whole world was British. It ruled over the whole world, the greatest empire ever. Shrunk to what it is now, an island. Yes. So, be careful. With the church, even in Ghana, there was a time that people turned against the church to fight the church. That was the end of their powers. You have to be careful with the church. There are pastors I know, I can't tell you the details, but I tell you, I've seen people literally die each time they try doing things against them. And you see the person will be there. But I've seen, if you try to trivialize, oh, this man is just a man. This man is just a man. Don't mind him. He's this and he's this and that. You be careful, because you'll be surprised what will happen to you, because you look into the ark like the Beth Shemites. So let's look in. It's just a box. It's not just a box. It represented the presence of God and the glory of God. It's not just a box. It's not just a box. So each time you try to play around with God's servants, you'll be serious. I know two pastors. Both of them said, one of them said, you know, he said, he just spoke a word, and the person concerned just died the next day. I know another pastor who said something like that, and then the person just died, and he became so afraid. All the two pastors were afraid. They were afraid of what they said, because they didn't know that the people would die. They didn't expect them to die. They were just saying something. So you must be careful with the presence of God. And nobody here should learn how to speak casually about pastors. Or any church, from Catholic to the last one. Catholic is the first and we are the end. And ministers and churches. Every church is a church. Even a dead church is important to God. You cannot attack a dead church. Because in the Bible, Revelations, he says, I write to you because you are dead. So even the dead ones, he writes to the dead church. He says, I write to you because you are dead. So even the dead church, he has something to say to the dead church. Are you here or you've gone home? So that is the second event you see with the presence of God. So when you are dealing with the presence of God, you need to be careful with idols and you need to be careful in being casual, because in these moments you can easily die and go to heaven long before you'll be wearing your choir robes. You see that you've arrived. Are you still around? Tell somebody, I am going to be careful with the presence of God. Amen. Now, the next important event is found in 1 Samuel chapter 7. The presence of God. Verse 1. From Beth Shemesh, after 50,000 people were killed, they sent the ark of God to a town called Kejath Jearim. Kejath Jearim. Do you know Kejath Jearim? It's a place. So, chapter 7, and let's see what's going to happen there. And the men of Kejath Jearim came and fetched the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab in the hill. And he sanctified Eliezer, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. Verse 2. And it came to pass, hallelujah, that while the ark of God abode in Kejath Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and the house of the Lord lamented after Israel. Hallelujah. Now, in the house of Abinadab, nothing happened. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nobody died. No miracle happened. No blessing. You see, this is God. God is a mysterious. You see, the word mystery, you see it all through the Bible. That is why you can be casual about the presence of God and die. And you can be casual about the presence of God and you will not die. And you will not know whether it is true that it causes it or it doesn't cause. You see people saying there is no God and some, they will die. And then you see somebody say there is no God and he's actually prosperous. Or you have not been around for some time. Yeah. Yes. You see somebody paying tithes and prospering, and you see another person paying tithes, and nothing much is happening. So that it makes you question and makes you wonder about God. But you see, let me tell you something. God is not a computer that you can press shift F to control this, and then something will happen. No! Otherwise, we could program our computer to speak. And say, oh God, hear my prayer. Oh God, hear my prayer. Say it 1,000 times from 8 o'clock in the morning to the evening. Press enter and then it will speak. Then our prayers will go. I learned it when I was coming up in Scripture Union. I'll fast and pray and God will move powerfully. Then another time I'll fast and pray and God will not move at all. Then I began to see that God is not moving by my fasting, but God is moving by his own power whenever he wants to move. Hallelujah. No one. So in the house of Abinadab, nothing happened. But when we go to the house of Obed-Edom, which is coming up next, you see that something fantastic also happened there. So I want you to understand that God is a mysterious God. You'll find a man of God who lived to be 90 years old and will be saying, what a great man of God. God has given him long life and has honored him because he has served God and whatever he's made, like Billy Graham, he cannot even die. Then you see another great man of God in the midst of his years, 36 years, is gone. So what I'm trying to tell you is that don't let any of these mysteries confuse you. Your faith is in God and not in a particular outcome or a particular way that things must be. Your faith is in God. And so you must be careful, because in your case, you may die. And somebody say he may not die. Look at Aaron. Who made the calf of gold? Aaron made it. He told the people, bring all your earrings. And he made the golden calf and told the people, please worship the golden calf. When God came, he killed thousands and Aaron was still there. He didn't kill Aaron at all. And we all know that it was Aaron who organized the calf. I mean, the idea to have a calf. And the organization and the leadership. He provided the leadership. The leadership mantle. But when it was time for dying, he didn't die. It was the people who died. Both Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses about his marriage. Only Miriam was struck with leprosy, which is a death, a terminal disease. But Aaron was not struck with any disease. Meanwhile, both of them murmured against Moses. Numbers 13, I think. Yes, both of them spoke. Aaron and Miriam spoke. Both of them spoke. But Miriam was the one who got sick. So me and you may be discussing. As each word you speak is bringing, the diseases are coming. The hemorrhoids are coming. The cancers are coming. The tumors are coming. The piles are coming. And your life is going off. So be careful about the mysteries of God. Be careful with the presence of God. And don't say, oh, this one is just a box. Oh, but this one, what is it? But it's nothing. Oh, if God was it, why would God allow them to be defeated? Be careful. Be careful. Because at the end of the day, God is alive and God is real. Amen. So the glory of God is mysterious. And I don't think God has any, he doesn't have any reason to explain himself to us. Do you know, when you go this way, you get towards the sun, you meet Mercury, Venus, then you come to Earth. They took off in 1977 to go and look for planets. And they found Jupiter. I mean, they had already seen it. Jupiter, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. 1977. Yesterday, I was somewhere and I was preaching about it. Afterwards, a man came to see me. An elderly man. He said, I am an engineer with NASA. He said, I'm surprised to find somebody in Ghana who knows about Voyager and the trip that was taken to Jupiter, because I work on the rockets. Yes, an engineer who worked there. He said, I'm so surprised to hear you speaking. I didn't know anybody here. And he told me that it's amazing that in spite of all the things that white people are discovering, they say that there is no God. It came about by an explosion. And he told me that he, as an engineer, he put a screw here for a reason. How much more the way the whole world is arranged in a way, and you say that it just came by an explosion. Amazing. So, ladies and gentlemen, God is, and I'm just wondering, you know, Galileo saw Jupiter in the sky in the 15th century. They've been looking at these dots in the sky for years. It's 1977 when they were able to take a rocket there and film, and they saw the thing in its glory. So it's like God, all this time, human beings haven't known, and he doesn't care that you haven't seen and you don't fear him. He doesn't mind. Is it not amazing? Yeah. So when the ark of God was in Abinadab's house, it's like, it doesn't care. You think there's no God, there's no power, it's nothing. No problem. Be there. You may discover, but you may be the Miriam who will get the leprosy, and your brother who is talking about you may be the Aaron who, for one reason or another, God has some other plans for him. You will not die by chance, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, the next person to relate with the presence of God was David. 2 Samuel chapter 6. All the way in 2 Samuel, they forgot about this ark. Amen. And again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel. 2 Samuel 6 verse 1. And went... Are you listening? And went with him to bring the ark. Verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, where nothing happened. Do you remember Abinadab? Nothing happened in Abinadab's house. Verse 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, accompanying the ark of God. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fair wood, on harps, psalteries, timbrels, cornets, and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The oxen were shaking the ark, it was going to fall. And Uzzah went and held the ark. Hey! Box, don't fall down. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah and called the name of the place Perez Uzzah. And David was afraid of the Lord and said, how shall the ark of God come to me? So there was another accident on the way, trying to bring this presence nearer. Do you see? Now, you see, sometimes when we come and the ark of God is there, they say, hey, you see people walk around when the presence of God is, they don't even know what to be doing. When we are having church, some people are making communion, some people are outside talking, chatting, ashes are moving around, people talking all over the place. And we don't respect the presence of God. And it's like, you know, it's, hey! Hold it. Okay, all of you. You see? And people are not conscious of God's presence. Because the presence of God is here. It's very distressing to be there and see that you are with people who don't know that God is present. God is present. If God was not here, we could not be here. If God was not with us, we cannot be here. It is a miracle that we are here. All of you, nobody paid you to come. Did anybody pay you to come to church? You have come by yourself. You come on your own free will. It's what you have decided to do. A lot of people are casual and don't understand what they are dealing with. Hey! Tell them, catch the box. It's not a box. It's not a box. So ushers, workers, you know, Prayer is going on. People are walking around, chatting outside, eating kebab, doing all kinds of things. It's like the Lord struck Uzzah. And then what happened? The Bible says, and David feared the Lord. You see, that means that he didn't, although he was rejoicing, there must also be some fear. If you don't know how to both fear and play, don't come near a man of God. I'll say it again. If you don't know how to both fear and play, don't come near a man of God. Because you'll be surprised that your play, too much play, may cost you something. I'm talking about where the presence of God is. There are some people, the presence of God is not with them. But if the presence of God is there, if you don't joke. Now, I want to say also, those who are married to men of God, sometimes you hear them say, look, no one can tell you what I can tell you. Or children of men of God, children of pastors. You see, so you sometimes, some of you see your father struggling to pay your school fees and look after you. You don't know that God is with him. And maybe God is far more pleased with him than a rich man whom you are admiring. Who you say, this one came to school, he has a nice phone, he has this, he has that, and whatever. You don't know how maybe God really loves your father as he's trying to serve God. And maybe he doesn't have too much of anything, but he's a servant of God. He's a God lover. You don't know. And sometimes you are children and you rather, you just be even striking your striking the box from the side. Look, every man of God and every priest and every pastor, or every box, every ark, is just also a box made of shitting wood. It's just wood. That's also what it is, but that's the glory. If you can't relate with it, you should be careful. Oh, David was shocked. So I thought we were just playing. Play, but know what you are doing. Otherwise, you'll be surprised. Do you know why Benny Hinn perhaps was the only person who received such a miracle anointing from Catherine Kuhlman? Although Catherine Kuhlman was American, he is Palestinian. He's an Arab. He speaks Arabic. Because when they were at the service, he tells a story. And other Americans challenge him. He said, but we were there. We didn't see all that. And he said, look, whilst he was sitting there with Catherine Kuhlman, he was attentive. His eye was on. He was amazed by the woman. Amazed by the power. Amazed by the power. All the Americans, you don't hear of any American walking in that healing. Which American have you heard of walking in that? She was there with them. None of them received anything. If you don't know how to both play and also fear, you are too close. And it's not going to help you. Yes. You must play like David was playing, but you must also fear. Otherwise, you miss the greatness of what the presence of God can do. And that was the great lesson of Uzzah. So as you are here, don't take it casually. Even as you come here, you know that you'll be blessed. Yes. There are times I've been for crusades, there are people who just want to walk on the stage. Let me come and walk on the stage. There are people who come and pray. They want to pray on the stage or pray by the stage all night. They say, whatever is here, we want it. I've seen people giving testimony at Bishop Oyedepo's church. As soon as they give the testimony, they lie down on the stage and roll on the stage. That whatever is here, I'm taking some of it and rolling it into my life. Yes. It's not that they don't sing praises. They also sing praises. They also sing praises. They also clap and they also play, but they also fear. That's the difference. Sing, play, fear. Sing, play, clap, laugh, dance, but fear. That's how the presence of God is. If you joke with the reality of God's presence, you'll be surprised. You will think that, oh, this is just Israel. We need oil. Do you know why? Look, my father-in-law, my father-in-law, a Ghanaian, when Britain declared war on England, Britain declared war on Germany, Japan, they took soldiers, millions of soldiers from India, Ghana. My father-in-law was one of the soldiers. They were conscripted from here straight to India. He went to fight in Burma. Yes. Lot of Ghanaians went to fight because we are part of the empire. We celebrate Empire Day. It was a big country. The whole world was England. You cannot get any Ghanaian soldier to go and fight somewhere for Britain. What is Britain? Oh, an island. We are also a country. You are a country, I'm a country. We can manage or mismanage our own affairs. You will not be divided in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, play, clap, sing, but fear. Amen. Amen. So we have seen, what have you seen? The first person was who? The presence of God. Who was that? Check your name. I'm giving you Dagon in Ashdod. The presence of God versus Dagon. God said, I don't like idols. The second one was who? Beth Shemesh. What happened there? 50,000 people died because they were looking into the thing. Looking at the natural contents. The next person was who? Kedjat Jiram. What happened there? Nothing happened. Trust God for mysteries. 20 years, nothing happened. Nothing spectacular happened. Look, let's take the names again in case you didn't write the notes. Number one, Ashdod. Ashdod. What happened there? Their God died and they all had cancer. Tumors, piles, hemorrhoids. Number two, Beth Shemesh. There they looked into the ark and they had 57,000 people died. The next place was what? Kedjat Jearim. That one, what happened? Nothing happened. The next one was where? Uzzah. Have we done Abinadab? Yes. Abinadab was at Kerat Jearim. Yes. You see, we are doing Bible study. Why did you come to church? Is it not the Bible that you came to? Yeah. Hey! Now Uzzah has brought a whole problem. And let's see what is next. Who is coming next to try his luck with the presence of God? Huh? The next person is Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. Verse 10. 2 Samuel 6 verse 10. So David would not move the ark. After Uzzah died, David would not remove the ark of the Lord with him to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. I think he was not a proper Israeli, so he didn't know what was coming to his house. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Hallelujah. Hey! And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark. When he heard that the presence of God was bringing prosperity, he said, Charlie, I need the presence of God in my life. you are going to see the presence of God in your life. And the blessing, the presence of God is going to give you prosperity and blessings in your life. Yes. The presence of God brings a whole lot of blessings. It took only 3 months of the presence of God. 3 months. In the next 3 months, I declare there's a change in your situation. Take out a piece of paper right now. Take out a piece of paper. I want you to be writing down some of these prayers. The presence of God in your life in the next 3 months is going to solve your greatest prayer topic that you've been praying about in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. The presence of God. Presence of God. What is your greatest prayer topic? Write it down. You can write it on your phone. You can write it in your book if you still use pens. Whatever. 3 things in 3 months. Number one, your first greatest topic. Number two, your second greatest prayer topic. And number three, your third greatest prayer topic. Through the presence of God in the next 3 months, you will see a change that you yourself will say that it's only a miracle that has brought about this change. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him. Those in the house were blessed. His cars were blessed. His business was blessed. His family was blessed. All that pertaineth unto him. Whatever concerns you, 3 things that concern you, as you write it down today, you are declaring your faith in the next 3 months. Are we in September? Today is September. Tomorrow is August, September. 2 days, 3 days, some days. September, October, November. That's why December will be a nice month for you. I said, that is why December will be a nice month for you. The prophecy you believe is the one that is going to happen practically in your life. Believe in the prophecy. By the presence of God in your life, God is changing everything concerning you. Amen. In 3 months. In 3 months. I said in 3 months. Someone said, can everybody's life change in 3 months? Don't speak like the man who didn't receive the prophecy. Speak and say, I believe. In 3 months, your life is changed forever in the name of Jesus. In 3 months, your life is changed forever in the name of Jesus. In 3 months, your life is changed forever in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. As for David, he didn't joke with the presence. He said, I'm going to get it myself. Amen. And he went and brought the ark of God beautifully. Look at verse 13. When they went 6 paces, he sacrificed. That's why I said, play, dance, and sing, but fear. The first time it was just play, 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 play. But this time, play, dance, sing, and Charlie, let's sacrifice fear. The first time when David was taken, it was play, play, but this time 6 steps, then a cow must die. 6 steps, a goat must die. And he danced before the Lord. Tell somebody, play, rejoice, be happy in the house of God, but you must also fear. Amen. Now, David was dancing With all his might, and he was wearing this towel. Verse 16, as the ark of the Lord came, you see, the last thing the ark of the Lord is about to do before we close today is another unfortunate something. As the ark of the Lord came to the city, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing, and she despised him in her heart. Don't despise somebody who fears the presence of God. Don't despise. Don't look. She looked down and said, look at this. How can you do that? And they brought it in, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Amen. Verse 19, and he dealt among the people. He gave them a cake of bread, meat, wine, and everybody was happy. But his wife, verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. You see, when you use such words on God's servants, vain fellows, shamelessly uncover yourself, you must be careful. Amen. And he said, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father. I will now become wilder and more base. Wow. More base. What you are despised, I will do it more. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child. Amen. And till the day of it. And he didn't sleep with her again. When he was choosing wife, he asked, yesterday was Rose, the day before was Michal, Thursday was who? Abigail. The next one was who? Rachel. He mentioned it. And then they'll say, it's Michal's turn. No. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. She's really looking. I don't want her. When you despise the presence of God, you may be very pretty. But you see, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So you may put on all the lipstick and be the most beautiful. But when the boy sees you, God will turn his heart and say, no. God will turn. Believe you me, it's not the most beautiful who get married. Haven't you heard me saying it before? Yes. It's not the most beautiful. Most beautiful are there by the presence of the Lord. Don't despise what God loves. Don't despise what God has chosen. Value what God values. Like what God likes. Don't say a different word. God says nice, you say ugly. God says I love. This is a man after God's own heart. Look at what she's saying about it. Vile man, shamelessly, whatever, this, that, and that. Wow. 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 When God loves soul winning, you love something else. When God loves sheep and souls, you love something else. Love what God loves. If God loved David and honored him, she should have also loved him and honored him. And she would have been okay. Some of you, you go and work at a place, you see your boss likes this, and you choose to like a different thing. Sometimes I don't understand how people think. If you see the boss likes this person or works with this person, then you've chosen that that's the person you don't like. Do you think you will ever prosper? The boss has chosen this one. And you say, I don't like that one. Hey, what is in your head? Porridge. What is in your head? Porridge. Yes. Let me tell you something. Everybody, wherever you go and work, look carefully. There are people who have favor. They are chosen. They are liked. Decide to like what is liked and not be against it. So sit in your corner and say, oh, don't mind them. They just whatever. That's why you will not go up. You will not go up. Yeah. I mean, if you are chosen to be a vice presidential candidate, and those who befriended the vice president who had been chosen, they were clever. That, oh, this man has been chosen as the vice president, so let me make him my friend. Then suddenly the person became president. And it looked like you made friends with the right person. And some people were rather against the person. Now the person has become the person who was chosen. You see, you don't fight chosen people. You join and like the chosen ones. For it shows that upstairs there's something more than porridge. You don't be against David when God is on David's side. It will not work out. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. As we end, we have to ask ourselves, what can we do to bring the presence of God even more in our lives? I want to show you one key as we close. I don't need to close. I can go on till 5. Yes. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Look, be not drunk with wine. You see, when you drink wine and you are drunk, you can't see the wine, or it is in your stomach, but it's having an effect on you. That's why wine is considered as a good comparison, if you like, or analogy with the presence of God. So that's why I said, don't be drunk, rather be filled. Because he wasn't talking about drinking or such problems. He was talking about something else. Then he said, don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Be filled with the Spirit. How? 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 Look at it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and spiritual and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why a song must first of all speak. Otherwise, it's not a good song. Look at it. Speaking to yourself in the psalm, in the hymn, and in the spiritual song. The song must always speak. So when there is a song and you cannot hear the words, and the words are not clear, and the message is not clear, its power to make you filled with the Spirit is smaller. Because being filled depends on a song which speaks. So you will notice, those of you who have been downloading IDES music or playing it on the internet, you will notice that the songs, the first thing you notice about the songs is that they speak. Yes. That's what our sister was telling us about her experience. She mentioned the song. Many people have spoken to, I've seen either singing these songs and people collapsing in church. Yes. Because the song is talking. Yes. That's how to be filled. You notice that you feel something like how wine has an effect. The song is making you, you have a feeling. It's like wine. So one of the things to bring the presence of God, even in a church, that's why people move a lot more into praise and worship, or worship, When Brother Frank is praying and leading a bit of songs, you can sense more of a presence because it's clearer what is happening. Fewer words and more clear what we are doing. So you sense more. That thing that you feel is called the presence and it is real. And that thing you feel, that is true. When you are in the room, it puts on certain music. I mean, sometimes I don't see how people can pray without playing certain music or sometimes preaching. You know, I don't know how you are able to stay in quiet. One of the most difficult places to pray is the beach. Because you can't hear your words. The sea is so loud. It's very. You try it and see. It's like you are deaf and dumb. You don't hear even a word. Presence. Speak to yourselves. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Get spiritual songs. Worship leaders with real worship music. You'll be filled with the Spirit and you see that some of your sins, you see that they calm down, goes down. You realize that you are in church now. Some of your problems are not coming. They are waiting for after church. Is it not true? How many realize that some of the things are waiting for you after church? They are waiting for you after church. They will all come. Because the environment here is different. It's different from the environment in your room, where you haven't learned to control the environment with proper preaching, music, and songs that speak. That's why my favorite singer was Andre Crouch. His songs speak. His song is not just a song. His songs, "We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus." The song they sang today is Andre Crouch. And many songs, "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King." That's Andre Crouch. "No more crying there, we are going." It's talking. The song is talking. I remember one time at a cemetery, we buried somebody's wife. And as we were standing there in America by the graveside, I was saying, "Lord, what shall I do now? What shall I do now?" And I said, "Lord, give me a song." And immediately came, "No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more sorrow there." I was standing by, I remember the green grass on that lawn. "Lord, tell me what to say, what to do now." Everybody was sad. But there's a song that speaks. And you are filled with the Spirit and encouraged by the presence of God at that moment. Hallelujah. Yes. Speaking to yourself. Sometimes you have to speak to yourself because nobody can speak to you as, like, nobody even cares about what you are experiencing. Or nobody even knows what you are experiencing. And you need to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's real. Those type of feeling that you feel is real. It's the Spirit of God. Is God's blessing and presence. So it says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk. Forget about wine. For feelings and for presence, forget about wine. Speaking. That's why a lot of Christian music, when you can't hear what they are saying. That's why Charles Wesley, the Methodist, they say, you can change whatever. Do not change the words. That's why they sing it in the old English today. It's not allowed to change the words. It's not allowed to change the words. They're not allowed to change the word or modernize it or improve it. It's like Shakespeare. They act it in the old language. Because the words are the power. My words are spirit and life. Wow. Be not drunk with wine. Verse 20. Giving thanks. Those who give thanks are filled with the Spirit. Those who grumble are filled with demons. The Israelites grumbled and they were filled with demons of sickness, disease, and death, and they all died there. Always be saying thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Be grateful. Have you ever met an ungrateful person? Have you ever met a wicked person? Somebody who doesn't remember? Somebody who is not grateful? All those people, they are all filled with demons. When you meet people who are grateful, so thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us. Thank you. When you see somebody complaining, why is it that? Why don't we don't have this? Why don't we have it? Why all you see that evil spirits are multiplying. So the presence of evil is multiplied by complaining, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is multiplied by giving thanks. Look at it. Look at it. Giving thanks always for all things to the Father. Verse 21. This is how to be filled with the Spirit. Submission. Submission. When you meet a humble person, there's a holy presence there. When you're very proud. Satan is in the presence of the proud. He's the king of the pride. Job, he's the king of all who are proud. Satan. So be filled with the Spirit from today. And this presence is going with you. Everybody must have podcasts. Must have music, because they are using all these things for bad things. You better use it for good things. Multiply. I learned years ago something called atmosphere creator. Take it with you, create the environment. Without it, it's different. Your life is going higher. You'll be giving the testimony of Obedidom. 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 At least you remember Obedidom's name, isn't it? If you don't remember any of all these guys who had accidents and whatever, but Obedidom. The Lord bless Obedidom and all his house. The Lord will bless you and all your house in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, everybody, and give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift your hands.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence.
I just want to be where you are.
I don't want to worship from afar.
Draw me near.
Draw me near to where you are.
Let's sing it again. I just want to be where you are.
I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are.
I just want to be.
I want to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence.
Feasting at your table.
Feasting at your table.
Surrounded by your glory.
Surrounded by your glory.
In your presence.
In your presence.
That's where I always want to be.
That's where I always want to be.
I just want to be, Lord.
I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
I just want to be where you are.
I just want to be where you are.
I just want to be where you are, Jesus.
In your dwelling place forever.
Take me to the place.
Take me to the place where you are.
I just want to be with you, Lord.
I just want to be.
Do you want to be where he is?
Dwelling in your presence.
Do you want to feast at his table?
Feasting at your table.
Surrounded by your glory.
Surrounded by your glory.
In your presence.
In your presence. That's where I always want to be.
I just want to be, Lord.
I just want to be with you.
Lift your hands. Ask God for his presence.
Forsake every idol, every casual attitude, every fearlessness of the presence of God. When God is here, when God is with us, when God is moving, forsake all attitudes of familiarity, all playing, all fooling, all lack of fear, and fear the presence of God. I just want to be where you are, Lord. I want to be, I want to be, I want to be, Lord.
You are.
I want to be, Lord.
Dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table,
surrounded
by the glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be.
I just want to be.
I just want to be.
I just want to be with you. Lay your hands on your head. Father, thank you for your presence that is going with everyone here. Fill us with your mighty spirit. We shall never be the same again. Let your presence drive away all locusts and evil powers that lift themselves up against your children. And against your will. Thank you for your great blessing of your presence. Lift your hands and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Receive the presence of God right now. Receive the grace of God right now. Receive the love of God right now. Manda satala baba kabaranda la baba shanda la baba. Oh, yes. 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 Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are not well in any part of your body, just put your hand. I want to pray for miracles right now. Father, thank you for healing in our lives. From every ailment, every curse, every pain, every disease, receive healing by the power of the Holy Spirit right now in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Right now. Whatever three things you prayed for, hold it in your hand. Hold it in your hand. There's a miracle happening right now. Father, we hold these three things. Whatever it is, we ask that there be a breakthrough in our lives. In 3 months, let there be answers for three things. We beg you, Father, we cry, we ask in the name of Jesus, by the manifest presence of your Spirit and your power, let these three things be manifested practically in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Close your eyes for a moment, one moment. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you are not a born-again Christian, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, Pastor, pray with me. I would like to give my life to God. If you are here like that, you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but you'd like to give your life to Jesus today. Not that you have not been to church before, but today you want to commit your life to God. You want to say, Jesus, I want to take you seriously. I want your presence in my life. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to obey you. I want to be born again from today. Jesus, help me. If you are here like that, you want me to pray with you, then lift up your right hand very quickly. Your right hand up high. God bless you. Lift it up high. I want to give my life to Jesus today. You want to give your life to God this morning. Pastor, pray with me. Then lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see all your hands lifted up high. Maybe somebody invited you, but you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you are a Christian, but not a serious Christian. But today you want to be a serious Christian. You are a Christian, but not a serious Christian. Also lift your right hand up high. you are Christian, but not serious. But today you want to be a serious Christian. If you've lifted your hand, come to me. Come to the front now. Come here. I want to pray with you. Just come. You'll go back just now, but come to the front. Jesus, give him your life. Come and stand today. Here. Let me pray with you. God bless you. Come on. Let him have.
Let him have his way.
I'm a Christian, but I'm not a good Christian. But I want to be a good Christian. I'm a Christian, but not a serious Christian. Give him your life.
Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus.
Lift your hands. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today, I open my heart. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. Please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am a serious Christian. I will serve God. I will follow Jesus. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. From today, I'm a child of God. No turning back. I am following Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, all of you who came, I'm giving you one of my books very quickly, please. It takes too long. Too long. Come to the front and distribute the books. 1 second. Now, all of you, well, I'm giving you one of these books. When we close, please, you see this side over there? Come there as soon as we close. And we are going to pray with you and show you something. But your life is changing from today. Amen. God bless you. How many of you were at the crusade yesterday? You are from the crusade yesterday, yes. Were you the one with the crutches? Wow. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for all these wonderful souls that are saved today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. As soon as we close, come to the side here. And it's time for us to receive communion. Amen. Communion, communion, communion. You may be seated. Now, we are going to receive communion. Please, what a blessing it is Hallelujah. Have you got your bread and your wine? Not yet. How many are going to seek the presence of God in your life? What a blessing. The presence of Jesus in your life is confirmed by the communion. God is going to heal you. It says that every time you do eat this bread and drink this wine, you do show the Lord's death. You manifest the Lord's death. So there is a manifestation of what Jesus represents and what he did for us on the cross. You do show the Lord's death. You do show or manifest. So right now, it's like as if Jesus' cross is here and you can see his bloody body on the cross for your sins, my sins, for your mistakes, my mistakes, for your wickedness, for my wickedness. And all your diseases is here, standing here, not standing, on the cross. So it says, every time you eat this bread and drink this blood, you show. When he says show, it means you will see it in a way you don't normally see it. Because we are all here, we know about Jesus dying. But when you eat the bread and you drink the bread, you show something that is now manifest. And that is why miracles happen during communion. And a miracle is happening in your life today as you take this communion. Anyone who came here being molested by an evil spirit, that evil spirit cannot continue molesting you after today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up, everybody. Go. We are,
and our lives have just begun. In the spirit, we are young.
Sons of God, hear his holy word, gather round the table of the Lord, eat his body, drink his blood, and sing the song of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Lift up the bread, Father. As we take this bread, we are grateful. We are healed. We are healed. We lift up the cross. We lift up the body of Jesus. We lift up the blood. We lift up this great salvation that has appeared to us. And we stamp on the enemy. And we declare every curse and every horn lifted up against your anointed is cursed and broken today in Jesus' name. Thank you for the blessedness of your power, of your spirit, and of this broken body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. And now the blood. Whatever sin, whatever mistake, from the highest to the lowest, by this blood, I declare your sins are washed away. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Whatever punishment is coming your way, you are escaping because of this blood. May all your mistakes be overlooked because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus.
On a hill far away stood an old ragged cross.
I love that old cross.
To the altar.
Father, thank you for healing, for blessing your children with super intelligence. Thank you for wisdom to make it and to do well in this life. Thank you for overcoming power because of the presence of God. Receive the blessings of Obedidom. 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 In the name of Jesus, may your house be blessed, and all that pertaineth to your house be blessed in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. You may be seated.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.